superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I'm excited for this one, man.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I think the Heat's a deeper team than these Los Angeles Lakers.
The Los Angeles Lakers take game one of these NBA Finals.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests, NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell, author of the new book Three Ring Circus, Jeff Perlman, plus host of ESPN's The Jump, Rachel Nichols. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am your humble host here on a Thursday with week four in the NFL season getting underway tonight on the last NFL Network exclusive game of the first quarter of the season. The Jets taking on the Denver Broncos tonight. And on behalf of everybody at NFL Network, and I feel very comfortable speaking on behalf of a network that after Steve Sable, his hallmark of you're watching the NFL Network, he was the first voice that was heard on NFL Network when we came on the air in 2003. And then I was the first face that was seen. So I feel very comfortable when speaking on behalf of everybody on NFL Network presenting the Broncos and Jets tonight. Please watch. Please watch the game. Good to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you this fine morning?
Hey, what's
Mike
happening?
Del Tufo, good to see you.
Well, much better, thanks to the Braves pulling that out yesterday.
Well, we'll discuss the Major League Baseball playoffs in this first segment and the NBA Finals in this first segment as well. T.J. Jefferson has settled into his seat. Good to see you.
Hello,
did you make the putt? I didn't see. I was looking down at my notes.
Well, the thing was, I couldn't hear, and my monitor wasn't on, so I didn't even know I was up.
Oh, my God. Was the sun in your eyes, too? I mean,
well, you know, we're running with a small crew here, Rich, so I didn't know everything that was
going on. Very good. Well, there's
and
still,
I never you
got,
slice.
You got two more putts, hours two and three.
They're dropping.
Here on this three-hour show.
Like Barkley.
I do want to, it's no laughing matter with the NFL when COVID is involved. And the fact is that we got through 3 weeks without even thinking twice about it because of the protocols put into place and everybody seeming to follow them. But with this insidious virus that is now again, once again, going up in more than half of the states of our great country, including right now. I mean, the Monday night football game that's going to wrap up week four is in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where apparently the virus is spiking to a significant amount that you're reading about. And I'm sending all my best to one of the great football towns in this entire country. But the fact is that the virus will have its own say, and certainly in sports that are not bubbled up like the NFL, it's invariably going to happen. One more Tennessee Titan player and member of their staff tested positive, which was enough for the NFL to say that's it. So the Steelers-Titans game that was set for Sunday and then rumored to be played on maybe Monday or the first Tuesday game in 10 years and only the third Tuesday game to be played since 1946 – or the second Tuesday game to be played since 1946, that's not happening. So what the NFL has decided to do is say we're going to push this game down the road. There is no reason to cross this team's vector with another team's vector that is clear in the Steelers. And right now, thank goodness, the Vikings continue to test negative.
Yeah, right.
Because, again, the Titans played the Vikings in Minnesota on Sunday. And as long as the Vikings do not test positive at all, and apparently the Vikings are being allowed back into their building for their game against the Houston Texans. Two teams that
need a win.
That need a win. One division winner from last year, another that made the playoffs last year, both 0-3. That right now that game is going on as planned, and the Vikings are apparently with extra safety protocols, including point-of-care testing for everybody about to walk into the facility, on top of the daily testing that's going on, that the Vikings apparently being allowed back into their facility today. And when you look down the road, I think Mike Tannenbaum, Mr. T, as Francesa always referred to him when he was the GM of the Jets, he was the first to point this out, the now ESPN analyst, that the Steelers and the Ravens have a bye week together. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens have a bye week together in week 8 after in week 7 when they play one another. And that the Tennessee Titans have a bye week in week 7. And essentially, if you move things around with those week 7 to week 8, you can fit the Steelers and Titans in and the Ravens and Steelers in as well. That the Ravens will just have a bye week instead of week 8, it would be week 7, and the Pittsburgh Steelers can play the Ravens in week 8, and the Titans and Steelers can play in week 7. That's basically the way that it's looking. They were looking at it right now, is that they push the game with the Ravens a week later, give the Ravens a week off earlier, and the Titans and Steelers, instead of it playing week 4, play at week 7, and easy peasy, and that's the end of that. If nobody else tests positive from here, significantly. This is supposed to be announced soon, but that's the easiest, most obvious fix. You don't have to move too many games around, but it appears to right now the Titans' week 7 bye will be when they play this game with the Steelers, and the Steelers' week 8 bye happens right now. And that's hopefully that, and everybody else doesn't catch this awful virus, and that it doesn't get spread around and vectors don't get crossed, and we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on it. Now then, I looked this up, although Rachel Nichols, the host of The Jump, when she joins us later on in the second hour from the NBA's playoff bubble, I will ask her to confirm. Because the Lakers sure looked as if they were attempting this. But one NBA Finals win cannot equal 4, right?
last time I checked, yeah, no, that's not how it works.
No new math. The Larry O.B. was not delivered last night.
It was
post-game.
Not. Wasn't even in the building, I don't
think. From now on, it's all about the Larry O.B.
Thank you, Steve Ballmer. Thank you. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I don't recall a more convincing Game 1 win that featured a dominant performance on offense and defense in which the losing team got so banged up that two crucial players left with injury. I mean, Adebayo and Dragic, shoulder and foot, respectively. And the head and shoulders, knees and toes were provided by Anthony Davis, LeBron James. KCP made some big shots in the first quarter when the Lakers fell down by double digits.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was the end of that. And I'll tell you, man, I tweeted it out last night, lost amongst the rightful hype of LeBron and Anthony Davis playing together is just how explosive this team's defense can be. We saw it against the Nuggets too, right? Where all of a sudden the Nuggets couldn't make a damn shot. That was the one game where the Nuggets won. Because they were so far ahead that the run that the Lakers put on that was spurred by their defense leading to transition offense could not bridge the gap. That was the only game the Nuggets won in the Western Conference Finals. My God, are the Lakers so good.
Well, I mean, it helps when you're the point guard and the center get hurt.
No, I know that, but that game was, I think, over before the injuries started to occur.
I mean, I disagree. The Heat were up 43-41. So, and then Dragic goes out, and then Bam goes. And so, you know, it was close.
I'm going to give the Lakers the credit where it's due. I think that they were beginning to look like the better team anyway. And I'm sorry. I obviously, when two guys get hurt of significance like that, it makes a difference. And Heat fan might be sitting here asking me, "What the hell am I thinking?" But that was it. That was all she wrote. I can't imagine how. I know this sounds like a knee jerk Monday morning quarterback reaction, but. Oh, my gosh. I guess we'll keep an eye on the injury report today, Chris, about the next game. Although these guys are knocked out of an NBA Finals game, it just seems significant. And if they can't come back, and we're assuming it's the same result.
Well, I mean, if those guys are out, it's all she wrote.
Of course, I know.
It's Sweep City. So,
but again, the Lakers are a team that was making the shots and playing defense, and they are... They are, and I know we discussed, I thought the Heat were a deeper team. So you're saying that we learned nothing last night except the Heat got hurt? Is that what you're essentially saying? Is that your take on it?
Yeah, when you don't have your point guard, who is a veteran who can throw up 25 points and lead your team, and you don't have your X factor, your rim protector, your number one rebounder,
well, I know that,
you're right. Going to get smoked. And that's what happened last night.
Well, unfortunately, that's the end of that. But we'll ask Rachel Nichols anyway. Jeff Perlman, who has been all over the place because he's got a fascinating book about the Kobe, Shaq, Phil era Lakers called Three Ring Circus. He'll be joining us in hour number two as well, so we'll turn our attention to the NBA. I guess what else is there to say about the NBA Finals other than that was a dynamite performance by the Lakers and an unfortunate rash of injuries suffered by the Miami Heat?
I mean, it's too bad. You know, this had the potential to be a great Finals because of how deep Miami was.
NFL Films for senior producer Greg Cosell is going to join us first up in about 10 minutes time because, we love football and he watches more film than pretty much anybody else from NFL Films. And he's on NFL Matchup on ESPN. And tonight, this is it. I mean, this is it. The loser of this game goes to 0-4. And if it's the Jets, if Sam Darnold loses at home to a rookie from Boise State, making his first start on the road, short week, if that happens and the Jets go to 0-4,
we talking playoffs or what?
Very much not. And I want to know what's going on with Darnold. What is he seeing? The Philadelphia Eagles wrap up the Sunday slate in San Francisco, where the 49ers are getting more and more healthy. And the Eagles are going to put Carson Wentz back out there after tying the Bengals. What's up with Wentz? What's up with Breeze? Is a question coast to coast for many people. I wonder if it is for Greg Cosell. That's a very sneaky good game right there, Saints and Lions. So Greg's going to join us first up. And part of the reason why I maybe have taken my eye off the Heat and Lakers wasn't just the score, but because of playoff baseball. Eight games yesterday. Eight Major League Baseball playoff games yesterday. Started with us coming on the air at noon Eastern time. Reds and Braves kicked it all off, started it all off, first pitched it all off with the longest playoff contest to go scoreless in the history of playoff baseball.
Unreal.
All right. It's a 1-0 final all the way to the 13th inning. 12 and a half frames of scoreless baseball, everybody. And there were, I believe, this has to be a record. Has any team ever struck out 21 times and won a playoff game, as the Braves did? The Reds and Braves combined for 37 strikeouts in that game. That's a record. To use the Kenny Mayne phrase, that's a record or something. And then the Yankees and the Indians finished up the day, even though they weren't the last game for a first pitch. That was the Dodgers and Brewers out here on the left coast. The Yankees and Indians finished everything up by playing the longest playoff baseball game ever at 4 hours and 50 minutes, and that does not include the 76 minutes of rain delay.
That game was so long.
A game that was delayed by rain, first pitch by 40 minutes, and, you know, I'll tell Major League Baseball, if you need any meteorological help, okay, on reading a map, a radar map, you don't delay the start of a game just so it can start when the heavy rain hits. Okay? There's green, there's yellow, there's even some red on a radar map that at any rate. They start the game just so the heavy stuff can come down. And the Indians, Carlos Carrasco, gets the Yankees out 1-2-3. And then Tanaka comes out with the rain coming down so heavy that ESPN's got a shortage of cameras that they can use. And you're seeing the dripping of the rain come off of the bill of Tanaka's cap, and you're seeing the wind blowing so hard, you could see it ruffling the thick polyester, right? It's not cotton, right? The Yankees, the uniforms are not cotton.
No, they're not. They're
a lot
not
of fabric cotton,
cotton
is, right? Cotton. They're polyester.
Tartable split his pants.
Okay, right? They're polyester, these uniforms. You're seeing the uniform jersey buttoned up of Tanaka move with the wind. And then Tanaka gives up a run only for them to then put the tarp out. And I thought to myself, this is the meteorological equivalent of the midge bugs that came out of nowhere in Cleveland for that playoff game against the Yankees where Jabba Chamberlain couldn't see the home plate and it bothered him so bad.
That was bananas.
That the Yankees coughed up a lead and then eventually a series to Cleveland. And I just thought to myself, you know, if Steinbrenner was alive today, because this is he's an Ohioan, if this happening in Cleveland, he's a Cleveland guy, he would be going absolutely ape. There would already be some sort of dictated and read PR statement from Howard Rubenstein and Associates that was stuck in the front pockets of everybody from the New York Daily News, the New York Post, the New York Times. And then the rain subsides. Tanaka comes out, finishes the inning by giving up three more runs. And that's when the Yankee comeback begins, with a Stanton home run and then a Gio Urshela grand slam. And then the Yankees take a two-run lead that they blow, take a two-run lead again from ninth-place hitter Gary Sanchez that they blow that. Then they blow the lead only to have the Yankees come back and win it in the top of the ninth inning. And just for one last extra measure of just reminding everyone that playoff baseball will find your weakness at the worst possible time. The Yankees get the game-ending strikeout, but the batter reaches first because Gary Sanchez can't catch the ball, which is, as you know, his Achilles heel. And then I'm sitting there going, is this game ever going to end? So I think Mallory Rubin, the brilliant Ringer writer, producer, right? She tweets out like, how old were we when this game began? I tweeted back out, and Don, if you could put the photograph up, I was bar mitzvahed.
Is that you?
That's me in the first inning. That's me in the first inning. That's me in the first inning of last night's Yankees-Indians playoff game.
I mean, fantastic photo, Rich.
Now, Don, can you put up the way I looked at the end? Here's the way I looked after the end of the game. There I am, right there. That's me. That's my sleeping nightshirt right there. Established in 1969 is what it really should have read.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
There you go. That was me watching last night's playoff baseball game.
What a day.
But the Yankees advance. The Yankees advance, and remarkably, these are the headlines from sports yesterday. Jay Crowder of the Miami Heat scores the first basket of the 2020 NBA Finals on September 30th for the Miami Heat in Orlando. And then the Yankees and Rays win their best of three series, sweeping them to face each other next week in the divisional series in San Diego, California. And don't think there's not enough of us totally insane yahoos out here transplanted in Southern California that didn't see two of those fans of the Padres standing on some building looking into Petco, that there's no Yankee fans thinking, is that, can we get there? Can we go down there? Can we figure it out? Baseball announced that they will sell tickets to the NLCS and the World Series because they're bubbled up in the state of Texas. We got that going. Yeah. Stay here in California, that ain't happening.
Nope.
So the Yankees and Rays advance. So does the Houston Astros. As the Minnesota Twins last won a playoff game, I think, when Kirby Puckett made everyone see you tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. And then the Astros advance, waiting the winner of the A's and White Sox. Sox, bro. The
analysis.
A's evened it up yesterday. Sox, bro. And the Astros, is this the most 2020? The Astros await the winner of White Sox Athletics
to play an American League playoff game in Dodger Stadium. The Astros are playing in Dodger Stadium. Do the Dodgers leave a trash can around just to troll on them?
I would hope
Hey, this
so.
One's for you.
I hope so.
This one's just for you. The Astros are playing a playoff game at Dodger Stadium. Oh, my gosh. And then the rest of the National League series that began yesterday continued today. So, Carlos Correa had something to say. Brandon McCarthy is a great follow on Twitter, had a great response to it. Can't wait to play that for you later on. Jeff Perlman, Rachel Nichols. Can't wait to play that for you later on. Jeff Perlman, Rachel Nichols, your phone calls, Chris Brockman's update, poll question, and more. But we check on some NFL films, all 22 film, with Greg Cosell. What's up with Darnold and Breeze and Wentz and more coming up. Old Spice now has Below Deck, a new line of products for your, below deck area. New Below Deck Powder Spray helps you feel drier and cleaner down below. New Below Deck Anti-Chafe Stick helps prevent inner thigh chafing. Nobody wants that. Available in the family planning aisle at Walmart or online at walmart.com/Old Spice Below Deck. Well, the millennials in charge of the Goodyear Blimp and Velveeta Twitter accounts are paying attention to the Rich Eisen Show. We know that.
I want to go on the Goodyear Blimp.
Because the Goodyear Blimp tweeted at us based on my Manhattan story I told yesterday. Manhattan. The Pat Summerall recounting of the beautiful blimp shot that's supposed to have a whole bunch of copy for him to read on a copy card. And all he just would say is, Manhattan, as the Goodyear Blimp showed you the New York skyline during the U.S. Open.
The best.
I guess in response to our video that we put out on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show, based on our conversation yesterday about the layout of supermarkets brought on by the comedian Nate Bargatze, he mentioned this when he was on the show. Somebody responded. I'll read it out right now. This is during the commercial break. Better question. We said, why is milk always in the back, right?
Yeah. Why is milk in the back?
Better question. Why is the Velveeta block cheese always in random places and never with other cheeses? That was sent out by at Johnny JB. Was at Johnny JB, I guess, is or at I Johnny JB. I'm not wearing my glasses. Velveeta at Velveeta responded in all caps, we like to play hard to get.
Greatest grilled cheese sandwiches ever.
At Eat Liquid Gold is Velveeta's Twitter handle.
Wow.
And that site is free, everybody. Just like Peacock. We're going to be on Peacock every single day exclusively. We've enjoyed our time on NBCSN, but all good things must come to an end sometimes, and that will. Starting next Monday. So if you've been watching us on NBCSN, we specifically request you continue to watch us on the Peacock app. It is beautiful. You cannot tell the difference between your cable feed or a streaming feed. It is dynamite. We've come out of the gate strong. And that, by the way, is the royal we for Peacock is what I'm saying. I'm speaking on behalf of Peacock. PeacockTV.com is how you can get the app or watch us on a desktop or just download the app where all apps are gotten. And we're free. That's the beautiful thing. Joining us later on, Jeff Perlman, the author, Rachel Nichols from ESPN. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. We'll take them as week four begins tonight on NFL Network. On behalf of everyone at NFL Network, please, I beg of you to watch. I feel like Lindsey Graham on Fox News asking for money. Please, I beg you. I beg you to please.
Don't start crying.
Please watch. I might get emotional because it's well, it's Mark Rippon's cousin versus the Mark Rippon's it's Mark Rippon's nephew against the artist formerly known as the third overall pick in the 2018 draft. And to discuss that and more, a man who watches a ton of film because he's not only a top-notch talent evaluator in the world of football, he's also an NFL film senior producer and the producer as well as on-air representative of NFL Matchup on ESPN. He's none other than Greg Cosell back here on the show. How are you, Greg?
Rich, great to be with you. Thanks.
What are you seeing with Darnold? What is going on with him? What's your evaluation? of Sam?
Yeah, I think Darnold's at the point right now where he is just struggling to see things, and he's having a hard time executing basic concepts, things at this point in his career he should see. I also think he has a tendency to move too much. When you're in the pocket, and look, we know the game now, a lot of people talk about second reaction improvisational plays, but those have to be more of a parachute, Rich. You can't just drop back and leave the pocket. You have to let the design and structure of the play play out. And I think he's perceiving pressure that's often not there, and he moves too much. Now, I will say this one thing. When I evaluate a quarterback, you have to isolate the traits and attributes of a quarterback, as opposed to just saying, well, there's not a lot of talent around him. That's easy to say that there's not a lot of talent around a player, but you have to isolate his traits and attributes and characteristics. And I think right now Darnold is a struggling young quarterback.
Well, I mean, isolation for him, based on everybody else around him, I mean, that's almost like solitary confinement in terms of evaluating, Greg. I mean, but so let me ask you this: where were you on the evaluation of that quarterback group as a whole, with him in relation to Mayfield and Rosen and Allen and then Lamar Jackson for that draft? Where did you stand on Darnold coming in, Greg?
Well, the concerns that he's shown in the league were concerns I had coming out. I thought that he did tend to move. He's also a guy that his lower body mechanics, he struggles with that. He doesn't always step to his throws. That may be just the way he throws the ball. Josh Allen's like that as well. You know, Josh Allen's a little different, though. The Josh Allen experience this year, you know, it's been kind of fun. But Darnold has some issues that need to be cleaned up. And at some point, if they don't get cleaned up, you end up being kind of a maybe yes, maybe no player without consistency. We'll see where he goes in his career. I know that Adam Gase has been an easy mark for a lot of people, but at the end of the day, when you watch tape and the tape does not lie, a quarterback must be able to execute basic concepts, and Darnold's struggling with that right now.
Well, what about the concepts he's being given, Greg? What about that?
You know, every there's not 1,000 concepts, so there's basic concepts that are on every playbook. We can debate that at given times about given play calls. Those are always debatable. But I think when you see basic concepts that everybody runs that are in every coach's playbook, those have to be executed. And, you know, the interception, for instance, he threw in the end zone to Xavier Rhodes last week, he just didn't see it at all. Mm. You know, he didn't read it. He didn't see it. You know, that's something you have to read and you have to see. So it's a route concept that's in everybody's playbook. It was nothing where you could say, oh my God, what's Adam Gase doing?
So, Greg, you're an evaluator. When I sit in this chair, I'm an opinionator. So I'd like you to evaluate the opinion I came up with the other day that the Jets have officially broken Sam Darnold, whether it is hiring a coach in midstream, and then that coach coming in and with a general manager that gets changed midstream, and the current general manager trading away their best defensive player on the eve of the season, then which their maybe second best defensive player in the middle of the defense and C.J. Mosley opts out. They trade away their best defensive player for draft choices, not people who can help Darnold right now. They let Robbie Anderson go. That put it all together, from management all the way down to everything else, that Sam Darnold is officially broken by the Jets. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that because I don't know what's in Sam Darnold's head. You know, obviously you'd like him to be in a position where there's some continuity, both with a coaching staff. This is the second year for Gase. I guess most people just automatically assume that this will be the last year. I find that whole thing interesting. I never know where to go with that because they won 6 of their last 8 games last year.
Right.
And no one seemed to give Gase any credit for that because he's got this persona that he's the whipping boy for a lot of people, which I don't go into those kinds of things, but they did win 6 out of their 8 last year. Obviously, they're not very good this year. They've got a ton of injuries. They tried to upgrade their O-line. You know, we'll see where it goes. But right now, Darnold is a struggling quarterback that, to me, some of that's independent of the situation with the coaching staff and the general manager.
Now, that said, just before we move on, Becton looks like the real deal, right? When you see that on?
Yep.
No doubt, right?
Yep, I think so.
They nailed that. I mean, that guy's just a mountainous human being, and he
and
seems
he moves
to,
very, very well.
And he seems to have the nasty, right? He seems to have the nasty where...
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember watching his tape at Louisville. He gets after people for sure. Right. That, he'll be a very good left tackle in the league.
Greg Cosell here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now then, I guess technically in your backyard at NFL Films, Philadelphia, PA, what do you see about Wentz? What ails him? What's up with him, essentially?
Yeah, I think he's fighting it a little bit right now. He has some very, very good plays. The touchdown he threw to Greg Ward last week was really high level mentally. And so you see those plays, which we know he's capable of. But at times he's also a little lost mentally with his recognition, what I call elimination and isolation, meaning eliminating what's not there and isolating what is there within the structure and timing of the play. If you don't do that, you end up playing much too fast physically. And it might seem kind of weird to say this, but when you play fast physically, you end up being slow mentally and you're tentative. And then you leave throws on the field that are there. And when you add in the fact that his poor ball placement, he's missing some routine throws, you've got a struggling quarterback. And all you can do is fight through it. You know, I think it's like a baseball player, Rich. You know, when you're in a hot streak, you could face the best pitcher on the opposing team and the ball still looks like a beach ball. When you're in a slump, you could face the worst pitcher and the ball looks like a BB. You know, you just got to fight through that. He's fighting it right now a little bit.
His mechanics, according to Kurt Warner, have been off for quite some time, is what he said. For years is what Kurt mentioned last Friday when he came on the show. What are you seeing on film, Greg?
I would agree with that, and I think that needs to continually be worked on, and I'm certainly not in the building every day, so I don't know what they do,
right.
But he tends to be an overstrider, and when you overstride, one thing that happens, particularly when you don't have a naturally compact delivery, and he does not have a naturally compact delivery, so when you overstride, you have to rush your upper body to catch up, and he tends to rush his upper body to catch up, and that can lead to the ball sailing and inaccuracy, which we do see at times.
Where do you stand on the concept of sitting somebody for a week to just give them a breather and see what you got in the other kid, like Jalen Hurts? What's your concept on that, Greg?
Normally, I'm not a believer in that. I think you have to work through that. I think you run into more issues than less issues if you do that, particularly in Philadelphia.
That you are an expert on as well. You've had a front row seat to that media market.
Well, I've been here for 41 years at NFL Films, so I have had a front row seat. And my good friend is Ron Jaworski, and I know you know him as well.
Of course. So,
I know all about that.
Hey, wasn't John Facenda a local anchor in Philadelphia that the Sables said, let's get him?
I was actually the last person to work with John before he passed away.
Come on. Really?
Yep.
No doubt. What was it like? Yep. What was it like working with John?
I'd worked with him prior to that as well, but, you know, he had gotten sick. This is probably 83 or 84,
right.
A long time ago. And we had to go to his house because he wasn't doing real well, but he could still narrate. And he was the nicest guy in the world. I mean, those days are over where you had the one guy. He was the Walter Cronkite of, I know I'm aging myself here,
no.
Rich, but he was the Walter Cronkite of Philadelphia News.
Absolutely. Greg Cosell here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so now let's move on to what you saw on Monday Night Football. My gosh, Mahomes, it doesn't seem like if you confuse him, you should just like pat yourself on the back. It's not as if he's not confusable, but you can confuse him. It's just so rare to do that. And everything that Andy Reid dials up, that if you fall down to the Chiefs, which is more often than not, you better have an offense that can potentially go point for point with them. And it seemed like the Ravens have trouble with this. They have yet to win with Lamar Jackson at quarterback coming back from a halftime deficit. What do you see about this offense and what's going on with Baltimore based on what we saw?
Well, I think they're structured a certain way, Rich. The reality is the offense is structured around Lamar Jackson as a runner, and all the pass game works off of that. They don't really have what we would view as a true drop-back pass game in a strict sense. So what happens is, and I think Steve Spagnuolo did an unbelievable job. Now, he also knows in his back pocket that his offense is likely to put up 30-plus points every week.
Right.
And I think that that allows you to do some things you might not otherwise do. But he pretty much said on third down and other downs as well, you know what, we're going to play press man and we're going to blitz. And what that's going to do is it's going to make your receivers have to win one-on-one matchups. And Lamar, you're going to have to make precise ball placement throws within structure. And you know what, if you want to run around, that's okay. Maybe you'll make a big play here and there because you're special, but you know what? You're not going to make enough of them to score 35 points. So that was the approach Steve Spagnuolo took, and it worked in that game. So now Baltimore, I'm not saying every team will do that because I'm not a blueprint guy. You have to do what fits your team.
Right.
Every team can't do exactly the same thing, but it'll be interesting to see if teams feel that they can at least pressure a little more.
So, you know, where do you stand on the subject that the reason why the Ravens' offense is set up this way is because Lamar can't do it vertically with his shoulder, that there is something up with his skill set that he can't do that? I mean, we heard that coming out of Louisville. Now he's 0-for-9 in games where he's trailing at halftime. It just does seem that it's the way to beat the Ravens. I know you're not a blueprint guy, but if you get up on him, it's difficult for him to come back by just relying on him to throw it. I'm not one of those folks. I do believe in his ability to throw. His arm is terrific, and I think he wants to be great. So it's not anything between the temples, but I'd love for your evaluation, Greg.
Well, he's super competitive. He's a great kid. I've been around him. He's as competitive as there is. I think he's an improving thrower, but I've always been a believer in one thing. And then I've watched tape for a long time, Rich, as you know,
yes,
is that coaches tell you how they feel about their players by how they use them. And this at this moment, okay, and we lose track because Lamar had a phenomenal year last year. We lose sight of the fact he's a third-year player. He's a young player. They've built an offense a certain way because they feel that that maximizes his strengths and minimizes what they view as, I don't want to say weaknesses,
right,
but things that he's not quite ready to do on a consistent week-to-week basis. So that's the way they built their offense. This is not me talking. This is what they do. So Greg Roman, Jim Harbaugh, James Urban, their quarterback coach, this is what they do. Now, because the kid's so competitive and wants to be great,
yes,
he will improve. But this is where they are right now.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films senior producer, NFL matchup on ESPN analyst, right here. A couple more minutes left with you, sir. The topic du jour in New Orleans, or from New Orleans, definitely is nationwide based on the performance on Monday night and the loss in Vegas. And then where there were tons of bubble screens and air targets in the air, only 5 to 7 yards down the field. About Drew Brees, the subject matter of his arm strength and his age, where do you stand on this subject, Greg Cosell?
I think this has been true of Drew for probably 3-4 years. I mean, there were a number of plays in that game where they actually, by design, were looking to get the ball down the field, and the Packers took it away. And therefore, he comes down to something shorter. For instance, the Kamara 52-yard TD reception came on what was a called shot play. They had what we call a post-cross combination. The ball was designed to go down the field, and that's where Drew looked. But the Packers took both those routes away with their coverage, and therefore he threw it to Kamara in the flat. Drew does not have a big arm right now. They've played this way for a number of years. Look, the way the game is structured now, you are always looking for explosive pass plays. But I don't think Drew is playing any differently than he has in, let's say, over the last year or two. Don't forget, they gave up a lot of points, and they also scored a lot of points. You know, so Drew was 29 for 36, and they scored 30 points offensively. I think in most cases you would probably take that, and if their defense had played better, and by the way, their defense is really struggling. If they had won the game 30-24 because their defense had played better, would we be having this conversation?
Probably not.
No,
not at all. Winning is the ultimate deodorant. As a matter of fact,
so,
we had Cameron.
I think you have to be. I think the tape tells you,
right,
and I think he has, and I think he's playing kind of the way he's played for the last year, 2 years.
Now, I mean,
he's
we had
Michael Thomas, who catches a lot of short balls.
Absolutely.
And is very good run after catch.
We had Cameron Jordan on the other day. I said, how do you fix what's going on with the penalties and everything? He said, win. That's what he said. He said winning. And obviously, that's the ultimate deodorant. And that's, I guess, the way I want to finish up this segment with you, Greg Cosell. This has been a quarterback-driven segment so far. The best defense you've seen on film through 3 weeks, where, again, no preseason. We've seen a ton of points. Points are up in a significant way. But the best defense that you've seen so far in the All-22 while you've been doing your film work is which defense?
Well, and they have not played great teams, so people are going to say that. But, to me, I look at just how they play and what they do, and I'd say that's the Steelers. I think the Steelers are really good at all three levels of their defense. We've always talked about someone like Bill Belichick, stylistically, that he's about front multiplicity and coverage consistency because they play so much man. The Steelers, to me, are the reverse. Their fronts are very consistent. They basically rush four when they get to their nickel and dime, but their coverages, they do so much in the secondary with disguise, late movement. They really muddy the looks for the quarterback. So to me, the Steelers are a really, really good defense. Now, obviously, they don't play this week. It would have been a very interesting game against Tennessee, but the Steelers' defense, to me, they're a fun watch.
And then which defense of a team that has Super Bowl aspirations is concerned you the most that you've seen?
Seattle.
Huh. Why? You just spit that one right out. What is it?
Yeah, because I picked Russell Wilson to be the league MVP in August, and I think, so far so good. We've only played 3 weeks, but, hey, you got to pat yourself on the back, Rich, when you can, right? So,
nice.
I think their defense has significant concerns on the back end. They've lost Jamal Adams probably for a week or so with a muscle injury. But their defense is struggling on the back end, and they just give up too many explosive plays, and that's the killer in this league.
So would you say the most complete team could be Green Bay with the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing and the way that the Green Bay defense appears to be showing up? What do you think about that in terms of
the most complete team in the league?
Yes, sir.
I would probably have to say right now that would be Kansas City with the way Spags is putting together that defense, and we know that they can score. So I probably have to look there, but Green Bay is playing very well. I love what they're doing offensively with Matt LaFleur. There's a lot more play action boot, misdirection, things that cause problems for defenses tactically and schematically, and Rodgers is throwing the ball beautifully. So, yeah, they're a really good team.
Greg, and you're a great analyst. Love the segments, as always, when you come on. We'll be checking you out on NFL Matchup on ESPN this coming up weekend, and let's keep conversing. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it, Rich. Thanks so much.
You got it. That's Greg Cosell, NFL Film Senior Producer. 41 years, he said. Whew. Think about that. Think about that. Your uncle is Howard Cosell.
Yep.
And you worked with John Facenda and the Sables. You want to talk about having football and football media woven into your DNA and love for the game. Now, I've told you this before and I've recounted it. Steve Sable came on NFL Network for the first time. I think it was at the Super Bowl. We were 11 weeks old. It was that Super Bowl in Houston. And we wouldn't have existed when NFL Network came on, by the way, 17 years ago. Next month, we were all about NFL Total Access Live, a couple of other shows that we were producing, and the NFL Films Library. That was it. We would not have existed. We would not have come on the air if it wasn't for NFL Films in the library, period, end of story. Sable came on when we were 11 weeks old, and I sat down with him at the Super Bowl, and I had people on the staff ask me, what's the one question you want asked of Steve Sable? And we sat him down, and one of them was, which coach cursed the most, that you had to bleep out the most? And he shocked all of us with his answer being Marv Levy, the guy who screams you over officious jerk when he was on the Chiefs staff.
Yeah.
And he said that Marv Levy cursed so much it sounded like a truck backing up. And we're like, huh. Now then, we're off the air. I don't know if I might have told you this once before. We're off the air. And he leans over to me and he says to me, who used to curse a lot too? And I'm like, who? And he goes, John Facenda. I'm like, what?
Whoa, Facenda outtakes.
It was
He said that he had a whole reel of Facenda's outtakes.
Can't imagine.
And I said, please let me hear it. He said, no chance.
those apps.
He said, no chance. I'm like, will you ever, why are you keeping it if you're not going to share it? And he just, I mean, he's an archivist, obviously.
Right.
He probably never threw anything out, you know, but he said Facenda would just like, you know, while he's doing his reading, an autumn wind. Damn it. You're like that sort of stuff, right. You know, like. And that's when the effing Raiders started, you know. Could you imagine what that must sound like?
Oh, it's got to be great with that voice.
It's got to be incredible.
Oh, my God. And that was when Kenny Stabler began the effing man. the amount of the comedy gold. But it exists. It's got to exist somewhere. Facenda was the newsman in local in Philadelphia, and Ed and Steve Sable were like, do you want to narrate some football highlights? And the answer was yes, and thank God. And then, if I'm not mistaken, it was Harry Callis, the longtime voice of the Philadelphia Phillies, that did it after Facenda's passing. That's why whenever I voice anything over for The Grind on Epix for NFL Films and I hear the music and I hear my voice underneath the spinning football. I mean, Michael Wright, who's in the major domo at Epix, is just he's a filmophile and just he loves NFL Films and the shot of the spirals and the shot of this and the epic nature of us Epix. So just hearing my voice with the music and the spiral and all that, I'm getting goosebumps just even saying it. There is no. Is there a reel of me cursing somewhere? The way you're looking at me saying there's a reel of me cursing somewhere.
No comment.
I don't think I'm blue.
No comment.
I don't know what you're talking about. Our poll question, phone calls 844-204-RICH, and unpacking a little bit of what Greg Kosell just said. When we return right here on our quadcast on Peacock, NBCSN, SiriusXM Radio, and more.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archives. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and be a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
All right, we're back here on Peacock, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got, still scoreless? Braves and Reds?
Yeah, the Reds just had the bases loaded in the second, and Braves got out of it.
I love baseball, right? You love it?
I love it.
You love it. We love it. You got to turn your microphone on.
That's me. That's me. Sorry, TJ.
Fumble.
That wasn't me. That was me. It depends on how the Mets are doing, whether I love it.
We love it. 4 hours and 50 minutes, though, of a game where you see 19 walks coming off of a game that starts the day with 37 strikeouts. Okay. That's what? What's a 37 plus 19 is, I'll do quick, 56 at-bats with nothing friggin' happen. That's a problem, but I was living and dying. Living and dying last night, I'll tell you that.
I mean.
Ah, yes. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. The Goodyear blimp sending a tweet to our show.
Fantastic.
Did we post me telling that story yesterday? Because I don't know. They must have watched us. I guess Peacock and NBC.
Somebody's watching.
Rich, give me a ride on the blimp. Come on, you got connections now.
Well, I mean, it's right here.
It's right here.
Down in Carson.
I want to go on that so bad.
Do you really?
When I was a little kid, it would come over the house in Jersey.
What are you going to do when you're
I
on
thought
it?
There was only one, then I found that there
I'll
were four.
I'll tell you why. And I know this is not what Goodyear Blimp wants to hear today.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Again, that's based off of the story that I told yesterday about Pat Summerall whenever he did the U.S. Open. I was admonished or warned whenever I was going to call a match on CBS to read the copy of the card that I was handed associated with the blimp shot, as they said, the Goodyear blimp showing the aerial coverage. There was all sorts of copy I needed to read to tick boxes for the ad sales department. And they said, read the copy. And I'm like, of course I do that. I'm a professional. I'm like, why would you even warn me that? And they told me the story of how Summerall would blow off all the copy. He would just say over the aerial shot of New York City, he'd just say, Manhattan. So I did that when I had my first shot and got an earful in my ear from the producer. Just the invective, my gosh.
Had to do it.
So at any rate, the Goodyear blimp sent that out. Here's the deal. And this may be totally out of I shared too much yesterday about my anxiety while shopping, but that's what this is. I share. I'm a human.
Dr. Melfi.
The movie Black Sunday has ruined the Goodyear blimp for me, and I won't go in it. Remember we had Bruce Dern on our podcast? We talked about the film Black Sunday with the actor Bruce Dern, because he played the guy, you know, who took over the blimp at the Super Bowl,
right?
Yeah. Filmed at a real Super Bowl.
I know. The NFL let them shoot it
which
at a Super
nuts.
Bowl.
Robert Shaw.
About a terrorist event. By the way, that would never happen again.
That would never happen today.
Have you ever seen the movie Black Sunday? I've never seen that because it's 1970.
They went into
1970s films have you seen?
No, I've just never seen it. It has nothing to do with
being it's a great, great.
No, I just. It's Dallas.
Dallas.
It doesn't make me say,
Pittsburgh.
You know what? I want to go on the blimp. I want to go on there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I love
that. Totally makes sense.
The blimp. The blimp when he used to go. I mean, it goes out here. It does like a little loop out off the harbor.
I'm sure it's lovely. Mike.
I always wave at the blimp.
I'm sure it's lovely.
Kind of circles me on the boat.
You wave at a blimp?
I do. It's done a little circle over me on my boat.
Why do you wave at a blimp?
Because I'm alone out there.
They can't see you.
They're like low. They're not that high.
But
that was like,
again,
I went high.
I might be oversharing. If I waved at a blimp, wouldn't you potentially be giving them a signal help? Like, wouldn't that be
I'd be concerned they're gonna think I'm in distress.
Or distress is two hands. One hand is like I'm waving at something hundreds of feet in the air that they can't see me. Am I sharing too much, Chris? Tell me if I'm sharing too much.
No. This is a safe space.
I already shared my bar mitzvah photo early on in the
show.
By the way,
that was tremendous. A three-piece. You had the vest.
Working it, Rich.
Might have been husky size. I just can't stop
shooting. Look at that.
Look at me.
Look at all that hair.
Again, you might think this was me being bar mitzvahed. It really was me in the first inning of last night's Yankees-Indians game. Do you have that other shot, Don? You wanted to show? Put that one up. That's great. I want that for my Instagram.
By the way, great.
Put the other one up, Don, pre-show. You said maybe we should show you this one instead of me at the end of the game, instead of me in my Belichick. We did this, I think was this last year when this became a huge...
Oh, the baby?
Yeah, no, when you the aging thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
That was
face swap or whatever.
Yeah, all of that business, right. Oh, my gosh.
That was really a Russian app.
Was that what they're supposed to be? I am. Oh, my God. That was me in the ninth inning last night.
FaceApp.
By the way, that is a hybrid of my Uncle Myron and my Grandpa Leo. That is definitely that. That's it.
It's freaking me out right now.
Oh, God. That dissolved. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can I get it in the same situation here? I don't know. Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to. Sharing too much. I'm sharing way too much right now. So what's our poll question over there?
Here's what I came up with. Let me see what you guys think about it. Since the NBA Finals is basically over, and so LA is going to have a championship. Tampa already has a championship. Which city most likely to get that second title first? Los Angeles, Tampa, neither.
Not putting New York on there, huh?
You guys have it.
I mean, Ritz.
I was thinking this the other day. Because you're thinking, because the Lightning just won.
Lightning just won.
So then the Rays and Bucks are their best
Rays
chance.
Rays and Bucks have a chance.
The Lakers are about to win. The Dodgers are their best shot.
Hey, Rams run to
double up. Rams.
Come on. Go Rams.
Okay.
My bad.
I don't know.
Okay. Sorry. You almost went higher register right there.
Just thinking outside the box.
It's odd to hear the words Rams from your mouth since you guys, when there were fans in stands, just sold your tickets willy-nilly.
We went last year.
No. Mike. You go with your Fox Pass and sell your tickets, and this guy just never went. All right?
I've been at every playoff game
for the Rams.
So have I.
But I was thinking this the other day. Late 70s? No, not even that, because the Yankees made the World Series in 80 and 81. So would it be like early to mid 80s, prior to Parcells showing up for the Giants, that this is the worst point in New York sports?
Oh, this is close. In a long time.
Like, honestly, the Yankees were in the doldrums. The Mets were prior to 86. Parcells had yet to show up. The Knicks were just crap. The Nets, nobody cared about. The Islanders would win the drive for five, maybe. Could this be the worst moment? I mean, the Knicks are crap. The Jets and Giants could go 1-2 in the draft. I mean, the Yankees are the only thing going for the New York sports scene right now, with all due respect to the Nets. I don't know. I was just thinking that. See, I turned the poll question to me personally. Hour two coming up.
Hey, sports fans. Adam Carolla here. I want to tell you about my new daily sports show, All Balls, All Sports. Join me and my co-host, comedian sports expert Jeff Cesario, 5 days a week as we get into the daily news from the world of sports and gambling. From NFL and NBA game action to off-the-field shenanigans, there's no sports topic too hot for All Balls, All Sports. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and find us at podcastone.com.